there, plucky listeners, and welcome to Keyframe on the Geek Show Podcast Network. And today we are joined by Rob, Mark,
Hello.
And Lewis.
Hey,
hello.
How is everyone this week?
Yeah,
I am extremely tired.
I'm seconding the yeah.
Okay, so everyone's fine except for Mark, who is extremely tired. Why are you tired, Mark?
It's just been a long week. Sorry, I was supposed to say something a bit more. It's like, oh yes, the news of a live-action One Piece just destroyed any motivation I had to continue on with the day.
I was kind of hoping you'd say something like that and lead us straight in, but no.
So that's your segue. That's your segue. Live-action One Piece is the...
Wait, what? Live-action One Piece?
Yes. But it's not the Japanese doing it. It is the Americans.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be... it's been confirmed that tomorrow ITV Studios, which is overseen by Marty Adelstein, is going to be taking on the project. Oda Eiichiro is apparently on board with the adaptation, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be good. I mean, Marty Adelstein is the guy who did Prison Break, and what else did he do?
Teen Wolf, the recent one.
Oh, God, no.
I thought it was supposed to be quite good.
No, it wasn't. It was not quite good. It was not. No, just no. I'm sorry, but Marty McFly is not happy.
Well, no, he's not. I've seen his diagnosis.
Yeah, his diagnosis of Teen Wolf, the TV series.
Oh, Marty. I've seen the instant reaction, and we have the usual fan reaction of all the characters should be the right ethnicity. Everybody should look exactly the same. You know, the usual uproar that we get around anything geek these days. I mean, we've had it with female Doctor Who.
I just want to ask a question to all these people who are saying they've got to be the right ethnicity. What ethnicity is Brooke?
Austrian.
Okay. What ethnicity is Chopper?
Canadian.
It has been confirmed. Robin's Russian.
No. I'm not saying what ethnicity as in which country are they from. I'm talking about Chopper is not even human. He's an anthropomorphic deer. Jinbei is a bloody fish man.
I don't think they're going to go as far as Jinbei yet. I mean, let's get through to the grand line.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out that One Piece did have a time skip where nearly all of the characters did change appearance.
And there was a shitstorm about that.
Yeah, there was. I mean, a lot of people still don't like Franky's new design.
A lot of people don't like Nami's new design or Robin's new design.
Yeah.
A lot of people do, but they're the wrong kind of people.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but they are the wrong kind of people.
I think the complaint of a character's appearance has changed and a character's race has changed might seem a bit similar on the surface, but I think the sort of emotions that are behind it are slightly different. There's a slightly different niche of people that are getting triggered by those two different things. When you bring race into the mix, you bring a whole bunch of people to potentially disappoint.
That really has nothing to do with the actual show itself, because the people who are going to make the show are going to make it regardless of what people say. What I was referring to was literally Jinbei is a fish man. There is no ethnicity for fish man. Chopper is a deer. Yes, there
I don't
is
think
no
anyone's
going to
be complaining about the race of the fish man.
No, but that's my point.
You'd be surprised.
That's my point. People
surprised.
Will. If you basically make Jinbei out to be some kind of outtake from James Cameron's Avatar, so he's just a human guy painted blue, people will kick off because Jinbei isn't a human guy painted blue. He is a fish man, and he's actually quite round. You know, he's not stocky and well-built. He's basically round. The character is designed in a specific way. It's like Makoto Kusanagi. They chose Scarlett Johansson because, visually, she's very close to Makoto Kusanagi. That's literally the reason why. They could have gone with the Japanese actors.
It wasn't an Asian that they cast, and that was the uproar around her. And I've got a feeling there'll be something similar, like if they don't cast a more Asian cast because with it being a Japanese manga. But
Luffy isn't Japanese.
Well, no, but the source materials are written.
People are
going to
complain anyway.
Japanese.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
And, you know, people will kick off. But I'm saying with One Piece, they have this unique benefit to it because most of the characters are actually designed on actual people. Like Eminem's Eneru, Michael Jackson's like Hody, Steven Tyler's Django, well, Jim Carrey, I believe it's like Frankie.
Yeah,
so you've got some crossover in casting there where you could actually like cast the actual character. That's,
Hody has
that's
actually said.
They should get those music artists to play the characters. No. That way they'll be as accurate as possible and it will be as funny as possible.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Hody has actually said that these characters are modelled on these particular real people. And it's not just those characters. You have the pirates as well.
Yeah. Petition for Eminem in One Piece live action movie.
See, I'd sign that petition.
I mean, there's some of them are based on like dead characters.
But they made him white. That's not fair.
But I mean, I've seen a live action like just a fan mock up. And they want Michael Cera as Luffy, Jared Leto as Zorro.
Michael Cera as Luffy? No. I'm sorry.
I think Eminem would be willing to do Yellowface just to please the fans if it came down to that.
There's Sanji as Owen Wilson.
No.
Ron Perlman as Frankie.
That's I'm fine with.
Will Smith's kid as Usopp.
No.
And the best one, a golden Labrador as Chopper.
God.
He's obviously got to be CG.
Yeah.
But you know, putting a golden Labrador, it's like, yes, that's going to cause absolute shitstorm.
Yep.
I think we can all agree that's how One Piece should be.
No, we can't, because I don't want Jaden Smith in anything. I've seen After Earth. I know just how bad he is. The kid has no talent.
Imagine the prosthetic nose on him, though.
But he's related to Will Smith. He must be good.
No.
Other characters, like, you know, George Clooney's Iceberg, Hulk Hogan as Whitebeard. You can imagine these. I mean, Hogan as Whitebeard would be carried to see.
No,
you get that handlebar mustache right.
I'm sorry, but not Hogan. I'd rather have Vin Diesel as Whitebeard.
But his design's based on Hogan.
I know, but I think Vin Diesel would do a good Hogan impersonation.
Can't agree with that.
Anyway,
I think somebody's slung Jason Statham's name in there.
Yeah.
I mean, if the budget's right, they can get all these big star names, but you know for a fact they're not going to have that kind of budget.
No.
Any idea like how people are reacting to the cast of live-action Death Note at all?
They hate it.
Yeah.
Totally. They've only got like a few trailers.
Just uniform.
It's like, oh no, L's not black. And it's like, yeah. Let them do it.
I'm not even going to get into the trailers. In fact, screw the Death Note trailer. Netflix, you have disappointed me. We're moving on. Sorry, I don't even want to give it time. I hate it that much.
What's next on the angina?
Mark's got something to talk about. He's got words to get off his chest.
Oh, is this the review? Is
yeah.
it? Oh, do I really have to relive this one? This is like worse than Dramatical Murder.
Treat this like we're group therapy, Mark. Treat it like group therapy. Get it out.
We're on like Hitalia levels here.
If no. I can get through Rock Lee and his ninja pals, you can get through this.
Yes.
Oh God. Well, I have been subjecting myself to Trinity 7.
Yay!
That was pretty good.
Otherwise known as Trinity 7, the Seven Magicians.
That was very interesting.
I'm not going to try and pronounce the Japanese.
Isn't the Japanese title just Trinity 7 as well?
Looks like Trinity 7, Shichi Nin Mo, No Masho Sukai. Lit.
Close enough.
So yeah, I already had worries about this one as soon as I looked at the discs, since the discs seem to have like very young girls in swimsuits. So this isn't your Monster Musume or your Prison School or your Keijo where they all look overage. And yes, within 2 minutes of watching this series, the whole image on the discs pretty much just proved my point that this was just going to be a horrible series.
Hang on, just before you continue, Tucky, I'm getting the feeling that Mark is having the same reaction to this that you had to So I Can't Play a H.
Ah, oh, that trash. Yeah, that was... Cheers for reminding us that existed, by the way.
Tucky's literally just had like a whole Vietnam flashback to that series right now.
You weren't there, man. You weren't there.
Oh, my God. So, I mean, there's fluff and then there's that. Oh.
So what do you mean, Mark?
I feel dirty now.
I'm not going to get too much into this one, apart from because I'm going to end up hurting somebody, but probably me myself. But this is your usual typical high school normal life guy called Arata Kasuga, who just was living a normal life until he realized he was destined for so much more, just like in every single series. He was living together with his cousin, while groping her, because that was literally the first thing that happened in the series. Because obviously it's a cousin, it's a fair game. Everything changes and he's destined for so much more. And the day of the Black Sun, which was looked red. And he was taken away. He was taken away from this place and he lost everything. And he just kind of wakes up in an all-girls school.
For funsies, I'm going to play devil's advocate. So he's lost everything. I think it's a good place to start. It will show him grow and mature as the series progresses, right?
Kind of.
No.
Kind of.
No.
It's no. Kind of where it's just like...
No, yeah, Mark, don't even credit it with kind of, okay? I know Trinity 7. I suffered through the first half of it. Suffered, I tell you. He doesn't.
It's just so bad. It's like, this is literally, it's just like the looked at, like...
Isn't this about becoming a man or something?
No, because he already thinks he is a man, and he already thinks he's a lady killer. Let me put it this way. The main character is such a deviant that if he was a real person, he'd be on several registers and locked up in prison. He's the typical harem lead.
Yeah, it's literally, he's the harem lead. And the ensuing episodes basically have him come to meet the Trinity Seven, who are seven powerful female mages who are the best at what they can do.
You say that they're the best at what they do. Are they all Wolverine? Because Wolverine is the best at what he does.
They're all various forms of Wolverine.
They're all various forms of Wolverine. Now, I would watch that version of Trinity 7 where he's trying to go for these lasses and then they just tear the mask off and it's Wolverine.
Characterization is exactly the same, but they're all Wolverine.
Yeah, it's just Hugh Jackman with breasts.
It's like, would you
enjoy that, Rob?
It'd be more fun.
It's like, we joke about them, but that's so much better than what we'll get. I mean, if you've seen any harem series, you know exactly what's happening. You don't even have to watch the series. You watch the first episode and go, yep, there's seven girls. There's a main guy who thinks he's awesome, who apparently is also the demon lord.
Well, I think that's pretty unique, because normally the harem lead is very milquetoast, doesn't have a lot of confidence. But I guess for whatever reason, all these other characters are throwing themselves at him. Like, I don't think I've seen many harem protagonists that do think they are all that. So, I don't know. Isn't that an interesting concept? Is that a unique take on the genre?
Nope, it's not. And Lewis, I appreciate you playing devil's advocate, but it's just not working. See, you know, when you're talking, my brain basically went, hang on, Trinity 7. So there's seven lasses. I remember a movie called Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. I wonder if there's a blaxploitation version of that called Seven Brides for One Brother. And then I thought, hang on, is that Trinity 7?
Just dip all the characters in tea.
No, because I think that might happen in the series.
Probably.
The amount of fan service in this makes, I don't know. Considering we spoke about prison school last week, this just shames everything.
See, this is where I don't understand.
So it brings it to a new level then.
No, this is where I don't understand. You were fine with prison school.
Prison school was over the top and stupid. This was just stupid. This wasn't even funny stupid. This was just, yeah, he's in the bath with a girl. Is anybody coming to arrest him? Should I just watch Dive? Have I got less chance of being arrested watching Dive as opposed to this? And it's just like, no, it's like, this series, I just hated every single part of it. There was just, I mean, some of the character designs were pretty good, but...
I found them kind of generic, I'll be honest. I mean, there's only some...
I don't know, maybe it was just me. I was just like, maybe I was trying to look for some positives in it. And I was just like, yeah, the characters look pretty decent. I mean, one of the two of them have got slight... hints of personality, and I think some of them try to be amusing, but it's just one of the characters is basically considered to be the final frontier. The whole plot of this character is that the guy hasn't seen her naked, so he wants to see her naked.
Oh my god, you described that as the final frontier. I had a very different version of Star Trek in my head.
So if they're, like, very powerful magic users, then, like, you know, surely there must be some sort of threat they're fighting against, you know? Like, that's what magic is. Well, I guess magic can be used for different things, but in a lot of cases, it's used for fighting. So I'm sure it's got some very good fight scenes, bringing out big guns and stuff.
It just felt more like school hijinks and...
Wasn't it the Magic King they were fighting against? They were trying to prevent the birth of the Magic King, and Arata was a Magic King candidate or something like that.
Yeah, it's just like he's supposed to be like the Devil Lord or something like that, and he's got to just prove that he's going to be the best one and...
See, this
all
is...
that crap. I'm not going to lie. I didn't really care much for it. I think I kind of just blanked out in front of the screen and just what when I was watching half of this.
Oh my God, did you have a Clockwork Orange moment? You know,
I was just sat there, I kind of just like retreated into my own mind and was just like,
yeah,
I could be watching anything.
Was it like, were you like Malcolm McDowell at the end of Clockwork Orange where they're forcing him to watch that TV? Was that you?
This is like, you will watch Trinity 7.
Until your brain melts.
No. Stop.
I don't know. This gun girl looks pretty edgy.
Stop. Please. Just put Italia on, please. Not Trinity 7.
No.
Anything but that.
I'm interested to see who has this and who to avoid.
I'm pretty sure Animatsu had it.
Yeah, I know. I'm surprised by that.
I'm sure some people appreciate Animatsu providing this service.
Animatsu have all sorts of titles, you know, and you can't have a hit all of the time.
The market has appeared to make sure you have a hit all the time, so they're not doing their job right.
Exactly.
Whoever does the selection.
That's why I keep saying to these companies, you know, just ask me. I will point you in the right direction.
I'm sure a lot of people would have that advice to offer as well.
Hey, so far, in terms of anime distribution and people who've listened to me in UK anime distribution, I've got a 100% record.
But if we listened to you all the time, Rob, we would never have got Prison School.
Yes,
exactly.
I know.
Exactly. There's just certain things, certain niches that just need to be filled, and you know,
I don't
not everyone's going
to
understand all.
To be fair, this is one of these ones where one of my friends has been raving about this series for ages. So I think that was one of the things that kind of I was like, "Ooh, might be good."
It 10 turned
seconds
out
later, it's like, "Ooh." It's not.
Do you still consider them friends if they like suggest and recommend this kind of crap?
Yes, because they have watched other series that are so much better. So maybe this was just what they were watching quite recently. Maybe they just had a mad moment of madness while.
Is your friend one of those people who, if it's anime, he'll like it? Doesn't matter what anime it is.
No, I don't think so.
I've got to ask that question because there are people like that. As soon as you say, do you like anime? They'll go, yes, I love all anime, everything. I love anything animated. Like, really?
That's true. I think a lot of us start off that way because it's all new to us at that point. And
I love all anime. What have you watched? I've watched Attack on Titan, I've watched Sword Art Online, and I've watched Yuri on Ice. I'm a real anime fan.
Oh no, the ones who say, I love anything animated, I have a challenge for them. I just say, okay. Would you happily sit down and say, watch the animation by the Key Brothers? They go, oh yeah, I love animation. What's the Key Brothers? And they don't realise the horror that they're getting into. Because the Key Brothers are weird and disturbing.
Awesome. Sounds a bit like Trinity 7, to be honest.
No. Imagine if Watership Down was done with puppets and stop motion animation and a lot more LSD. Then you got something like the Key Brothers. Anyway, moving from one harem to kind of one of the original harem series, Tenshi Muyo Ryo Oki. Now, just to clarify, the actual title, you know, Tenshi Muyo. Tenshi means heaven and earth, and Muyo means no need for. So the title is literally no need for heaven and earth, or as it's supposed to be understood, don't flip everything upside down. And then you have Ryo Oki, and everyone was kind of, Ryo Oki, which one's Ryo Oki? Because you've got Ryoko, who's a character in this, but then Ryo Oki is the ship. And you're like, yeah, that is the title. Don't flip everything upside down, Ryo Oki, which is the ship. Also, the cat, rabbit, or cabbit, as people call her. Anyway, Tenshi Muyo tells the story of Masaki Tenshi, who is a normal but curious 17-year-old boy, and I mean curious in the original sense of the word, not as in the... Not as in the sexually curious sense.
I wasn't thinking of that, but okay.
So anyway, he is a 17-year-old boy, and he lives at the Masaki Shrine with his grandfather and his dad, Nobuyuki. His mother has passed away, and there's a legend at the shrine of a demon who fell from the sky and a samurai who arrived from the sky on a ship when the demon was rampaging and killing people and destroying villages. And the samurai fought the demon and trapped the demon and sealed it away with the holy sword. The samurai was called Yosho, and the shrine is built around where the demon is sealed. And Tenchi is curious because he doesn't believe this legend, so he basically steals the keys to the sealed shrine and goes in thinking, oh, what's the worst that could happen? Obviously, he had a Dr. Pepper before he went in. So he's in the shrine, and lo and behold, he finds the sword, the mythical sword that's able to split rocks. You know, it can cut through stone. And he pulls it out of the sheath, and it's a heap of rusted metal. He's like, well, this can't be the sword that cuts through stone. Smacks it on a rock. The rock splits in half, and things start happening after that. And then he finds out that the demon is real. The demon is very, very real. All of the old stories that his granddad told him are real. And he then realizes he's a descendant of Yosho, because his granddad told him that must be real as well. But he, you know, he wakes the demon, doesn't understand what's going on after that, because now some girl called Ryoko is attacking him, trying to kill him. But she doesn't really want to kill him. She's missing on purpose, because if Ryoko wanted to kill Tenchi, then she would. But Ryoko is the demon, and she likes Tenchi, because Tenchi, I don't know, she's got kind of a mothering instinct when it comes to Tenchi, and she likes him a lot. And this is the story of how Tenchi ends up with an accidental harem of people who all like him, and he still can't figure out why. Tenchi is living in his house with his dad and his granddad, and the female characters are added one by one. Ryoko, Ayaka, Sasami, Ryooki, who is the ship, but also the rabbit, cabbit, whatever she is. Washu, who is technically Ryoko's mom, but isn't, but is. Also is the universe's greatest genius mad scientist, with the emphasis on mad, and likes to be called Little Washu. See, this is the thing. I know Tenchi so well, I could tell you the entire story of Tenchi Muyo without having to watch the discs, but I did watch the discs, and the dub holds up really well. The Japanese dub and the English dub, they both hold up. The English dub was done at a time when they were actually doing more intuitive dubs, so they weren't trying to be literal with the words, and they didn't do the whole San and Dono and Kun thing. They basically called them Tenchi and Ryoko and Ayaka and Sasami.
I've got to ask, because this is from like the early 90s, yep. The anime. Is this like a re-release of that actual 90s anime?
This is basically the first two seasons of Tenchi Muyo Ryooki. It's 6 episodes for the first season, 6 episodes for the second season. The first season is basically Tenchi getting used to having all these people around. I think the first season was dealing with Kagato as well. The second season is basically introducing more people from the Jirai royal family, and ends with an episode called Here Comes Jirai, which is a special episode that was added on at the end. Now, this is 5 discs in total, right? Only 3 of which are Tenchi Muyo Ryooki in its entirety. The 4th disc is actually an OVA dealing with Mihoshi, called Galaxy Police Mihoshi Space Adventure. See, Mihoshi is one of the characters who appears in Tenchi Muyo, and it's the first time that you're introduced to 2 particular things, which I'll talk about in a minute. Galaxy Police Mihoshi Space Adventure is basically after the whole thing with the Jirai royal family, everybody's relaxing in the house, and Mihoshi's telling a story to Ryooki, who's in her cabbit form. She's telling her a story about an adventure that she had in space when she saved the universe from the evil, genius, mad scientist Washu, who's now living in the same house as her, right? And the story is the typical madcap Mihoshi story, because Mihoshi is the worst detective in the galaxy. I mean, the absolute worst. She has no real skills, and she has no real coordination. She's basically the clumsy girl. In any anime, she would be classed as the ditzy, blonde, clumsy girl, right? But she has inordinate good luck. Mihoshi has more good luck than anybody else. So she could be firing random shots in a panic, but she might actually destroy all the enemies by doing that.
Better than Nagito Kamaeda.
Yeah, basically. Mihoshi is basically, you know how they say, you know, luck beats everything? That's her. Unfortunately, when it comes to luck, Mihoshi has both bad and good. In this story, it actually introduces you to Mihoshi's partner in the Galaxy Police, who she accidentally left for dead, called Kione. And it also introduces Sazami in one of her alter egos from a different dimension called Pretty Sammy, or Magical Girl Pretty Sammy. This is where she's first introduced. And there was an OVA of Magical Girl Pretty Sammy, I think it was 4 episodes, something like that, that was done a little bit after this. The other thing with this collection, there is something else, because Tenshimoyo is one of those older series that a lot of people have heard about but never actually watched. I think the time is actually quite right for it to be re-released on DVD.
It's harem, though.
It doesn't matter if it's harem. This is one of the progenitors of the harem genre. And when you look at Tenshimoyo, and then you look at something like Trinity Seven, you see just how much the harem genre has deviated from what it could be. Thing is, there was a time when the harem genre, it was actually for comedic purposes, but the comedy was actually thoughtful. They actually put a lot more effort into the comedy. It wasn't all, oh, he fell over into her boobs. Oh, he fell over into her crotch. Those things did happen, but with much less frequency. There was far less emphasis on the fan service, and there was far less emphasis on the slapstick. They actually tried to set jokes up, which made the impact of the slapstick more prominent.
Whereas 90s harem was more of a classier harem. It was when actually, because they back then, like, they had to like grab attention, and rather than just go straight for blunt, like, he's boobs, he's ass, there you go, and enjoy. They actually had to think about the thought process, because a lot of things, with anime having such a poor image in foreign countries, and that it's all arts, tentacles, and schoolgirls.
Yeah,
they couldn't really go as blunt, because it'll just perpetuate that stereotype and put a lot more people off. So they actually had to come up with more complicated ways to like fit them in, but actually, you know, like say, add class to it.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. If you take something like Trinity Seven or Sorry Can't Play H, let's say Strip Club. They're a strip club, yeah? So that's what they are. Whereas something like Tenshimoyo is more akin to Moulin Rouge, where it's actually quite classy.
I see what you mean.
You know?
It's more of a private gentleman's lounge rather than Black Books on Air Sunderland.
Yeah.
So anybody who knows what Black Books is in Sunderland, you'll know exactly the kind of gap in class.
Yeah. Anyway, as I said, Tenshimoyo is one of those shows where a lot of younger fans have heard of it but never actually watched it. I think the time is right for the DVD collection to come out. And this is the collection. This is the whole Tenshimoyo Ryo Oki, 13 episodes. And then you have the Galaxy Police Mihoshi Space Adventure. But also with that, you have the final disc. And the final disc, I think, is probably the most important, because it is the Tenshimoyo Encyclopedia. And it's basically an interactive DVD where you can find out information about the actual show, the actual creation of the show. You can look at stills. It's got the first 6 issues of the Tenshimoyo comic from the 90s on there in digital form. You know when you talk about the DVD extras? They've basically taken all the extras and crammed them onto one DVD to make a complete interactive DVD, which is really nice.
See, that's what's missing. But most of them, it's like, oh, you get your figure, you get it in a steel case and that. Anybody really wants that?
Yeah.
Give me the behind the scenes. Do they do like
it's got
behind
interviews.
The scenes with the voice actors?
It
was a very different voice crew back then as well.
It's got interviews. It doesn't have interviews with the voice actors, unfortunately, but it's got interviews during the production. It's got still images. It's got locations in the anime series from different angles. It goes into some of the info about how it was created. I mean, what I said at the beginning, you know, the meaning of Tenshi and Moyo is actually taken from that DVD. This is information that's on the DVD. How did Tenshi Moyo come about? What does the name actually mean? That sort of thing. And that DVD, along with the series, actually puts you in a great position to watch what comes after, which is Tenshi in Tokyo, Tenshi in Love, you know, Magical Girl, Pretty Sammy, and also not just the Tenshi stuff, but the other spin-off stuff as well. Isekai Seikishi Monogatari, which is the story of the Knight from Another World. But the actual English title, to tie it in with Tenchi, they changed the English title from The Story of a Knight on Another World to Tenchi Muyo, War on Geminar.
Ah, that was 2016, that, wasn't it, when they brought that one out?
2009 it was made, 2009, 2010. And that was that was weird because the episodes were about 45 minutes long.
Because I can remember it was like that. That's what some of the more recent ones, the War on Geminar one, because just looking at the voice actors for the next SunnyCon, she has a part in that.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting thing.
There's all sorts to Tenchi. There's a hell of a lot to the Tenchi franchise in general. And I'm happy to see it get a re-release. I'm happy that new anime fans are going to get to enjoy a series that a lot of older fans started off with. Unfortunately, I'm older than those fans as well, so it's not one that. Well,
if they can manage to merchandise the Cabots, because Cabots were
oh god, really, yeah. If they can merchandise Ryōoki, right? If they can do another boom of merchandise with Ryōoki, they'll sell out straight away because people love that sort of thing. Hell, if I could merchandise Ryōoki, there you go, Tucky. There's an idea for you. See if you can get the license to do Ryōoki plushies.
I'd be all over that. It is. It's like the 90s minions for anime. Cabots, or what was the one of Triple X-Holic?
Oh, yes.
Mokura. And I used to have the merchandise for them when I started selling for Tucky's anime, so I know they do them plushies, and they're still quite popular.
Yep. Anyway, that's Tenchi Muyo. We're going to continue now with what we were talking about last week, which is the new season of anime.
Yeah.
Woo! Yay.
The new season hype's kind of worn off now as we're into like episodes 2 and 3, and it's like, well, here we're gone.
So, guys, what are you focusing on?
Don't know if I did Welcome to the Ballroom last week.
No, you didn't.
Let me tell you about Welcome to the Ballroom. It's naff. It's one of them things where a series has been so hyped up, and they've gone for this niche school sports club kind of anime, where it's like, oh, it's like cycling, or it's volleyball, or it's diving, or, you know, the usual tripe. And I think they've out-uniqued themselves.
No, they haven't.
With Welcome to the Ballroom.
They haven't.
Well, they can do nichier things, but...
They can. I want them to do a kabaddi one. It's an Indian sport, and it's only played in India.
Well, wait until they do a Gaelic football one. That'll be interesting to see.
Yes. I want them to do balls, as in, you know, like, balls.
Garden balls.
Yeah.
We might as well go down to level of crochet while we're at it.
Yeah.
Crochet?
We'll say them all, because there's that many niche hobbies which can be translated into a high school setting in Japan.
I'm sorry, so, I'm just imagining an action anime, a shonen action anime about knitting now.
Now you get the gorilla knitters. It's like, oh, I've knitted this like coat round a tree. Oh, I'm badass. All Japanese public are up outrage.
Yes.
How dare they vandalise our city with their knitting?
With their warm, fluffy clothes.
They've got to have like the fan service angle, so this is they would be knitting like underwear for guys. That's about as far as they can get.
You know, you'd have the middle-aged woman who's like got the breasts that are so big, you know for a fact she's got backache.
Yeah.
Oh, let's not invent another anime like that.
Anyway.
Moving on, sticking with the ballroom, let's say it's a niche one, and I've seen this hyped, and I thought with like the popularity Strictly Come Dancing that some of the UK fan base will get behind this one, but they've made the mistake in selling it to Amazon Prime, so nobody's really watching it. I expected it to be this meme bait thing, and in parts it is. It's a story about a lad who gets pressurized into going into a ballroom dancing class. He aspires to be the teacher because he watches, for some reason, they've got like a VHS of the instructor doing like the ballroom dancing and competitive ballroom dancing. I mean, like the sequins, the uncomfortable shoes, the penguin-esque kind of tuxedo. Yeah, you know that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, Strictly Come Dancing, essentially.
Yeah, and the thing is, like, being a male, every move you make in the dance is, look at me, I'm majestic. And that's the kind of thing this kid's trying to aspire to. And it gives this whole thing, like, oh, the kid's hardworking because he did, like, they've got, like, the different exercises, like, warm-up exercises for ballroom dancing. Then they do this thing, the box and that, and he expects the kid to do it for 2 hours. Instead, he's been doing it for, like, 12 hours all night. He's got blisters and whatnot. So he's one of them hard-working types of protagonists. You know, he's serious. And all this from watching, like, you know, 20 minutes of some bloke dancing on the ballroom. That's the initial thing of it. And there's a female character in it there, which is obviously going to be a kind of love interest, kind of like she goes against it because she's really good at ballroom dancing anyway. So it's basically going to be him training. And I guess that the end of it's going to be he enters his first competitive ballroom dancing thing. And maybe he'll fail, maybe he'll learn a lesson.
Can I just make one observation?
Yep.
So basically the story is plucky young wannabe joins the team, trains hard, gets noticed by the mature older lady, and
just in his class, so
they have to then pair up and they have to take on all comers and win against all the odds, even when everyone thought that they couldn't. And
yeah,
he trains like nobody's business, and she helps him train like nobody's business, you know. All that grunting and sweating and everything like that. Are you sure this isn't called hardcore ballroom?
Welcome to the balls.
Man, it was clean until you went and said that.
Balls room. If you live in Britain, you know what ballroom dancing is. You've got to have tuned into like Strictly Come Dancing by accident. And ballroom dancing is the most mind-numbing, boring experience. If you're not taking part, then you are just boring as hell watching people dance and have fun. Why would you want to sit there and watch people dance and have fun? And that's this anime.
It's exactly the same, though, when you talk about sports. Why are you watching somebody else kick a football around a pitch? Why aren't you playing the game yourself?
I feel like watching a game is different because at least you're like watching strategy unfold in real time.
Again, just reminding you, there is a sport called Kabaddi in existence. And strategy.
Stop
and
giving
that game,
them ideas.
Strategy and that game do not really go together.
I've got to be Googling it after this.
Was I the only one really, really creeped out by like the limbs on these characters? Like nearly every single character looks like Slender Man.
You think they look
the artistic
like Slender Man?
Design? I don't think they put the work in because, like, where with Fury on Ice, they've actually done like the actual movements and that. Sure, the animation's off in places, but on Welcome to the Ballroom, everybody looks like they're like part Stretch Armstrong, part human.
Really? Do you guys not remember what Watanuki looked like in Exholic?
Yeah, but that's Exholic. That's a different kettle of fish. This is supposed to be a serious school drama. The thing is, the journey, we all know where it's going to end. He's going to end up being in a competitive one, and he'll either win or lose. And I'll tell you something, I'm not investing my time in 12 to 13 episodes of watching this kid sweat and make mistakes. Because there's too many animes like that.
Cool. Mark, what about you then?
I have been watching Gamers with an exclamation point.
Sorry, I've been watching this as well, and it's got us interested.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. This is probably my pick, or at least one of my picks for this season. So it starts off with a guy, as always. I can't remember his name. All I know is that I did spend a lot of time trying to find out if all of the character names were like console puns or developer puns, but yeah. I couldn't find it. And he meets this girl called Tendo. Two guesses on where that name's coming from. So yeah, this young lad, we'll call him Ragamuffin. I don't know what he's called.
Tasuku Urahara.
Yeah, and there's a few main characters. There's another one called Amano Keita as well, who's actually the proper main character.
Okay.
And he's just a lad who likes to sit there and play games. He likes some of the little bit more of the weeby ones. You know, the ones that you've seen, like Senran Kagura and Love Live, Idol, Smash, or whatever you call it.
Wait, is this Hug and I Season 3 then?
No, it's not. It's just called Gamers. And
I don't know, I'm getting Hug and I vibes from it, not gonna lie.
He's this young girl who's in the same class, who's like the popular, cute girl called Tendo Karen. And she's part of the video games club at the school. And she's like, oh, yeah, you like games, you're cool and all this jazz. And she invites him to come play games with her. And it's a romantic comedy, but you know, we're kind of in a world now where you're kind of judged if you don't play certain popular games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's very much kind of like, yeah, it's that like, feeling. Yeah, just be yourself, just play whichever games you want. And this series is actually very unique because while Amano is invited to the Games Club, he has this whole thing in the first episode where he's getting to grips with the Games Club, he meets all of the other characters, and at the end of the first episode, Tendo comes back to him. Obviously, she's the love interest as well, so she's starting to have a bit of a thing for him. And she's like, oh, would you like to join? And he's just like, nah, you're all right. Have fun with your Games Club. I just want to sit there and play on my little my mobile game. I can't remember what the mobile... It's like One Piece Treasure Cruise, Fate Grand Order type game.
That's... So the game's based on real games then?
Yeah, the games are. The second, like, obviously, he
wait, turns the games the are actually real games?
Yeah, some of the games are. Not all of them, but some of the... Oh, you can tell the based off of other ones. So, yeah, she obviously gets upset since she's basically thrown herself at him and runs out the thing. So he gets this whole rumour that he's kind of really upset this popular, pretty girl. And then, like, almost immediately, the second episode takes the focus away from Amano to this other lad, Urahara, who is this secret closet gamer who was once one of these nerdy chaps until he'd got into high school and was like, yeah, I don't want to be nerdy anymore. I want to be this hot, popular guy. So he does this whole transformation of where he's like,
Can I ask a question? Gamers, I'll be honest, it's sounding very, very generic to me. In that it's basically using games. I mean, if you described gamers, but instead of using video games, they were using anime or manga.
I mean, from what you said, though, it's a little more interesting than I thought it would be, because at least it explores situations that gamers find themselves in and uses real games, so I'm actually curious now. But
that's my point, Lewis. The ones that actually use anime or manga use real anime and manga. And they use terminology related to anime and manga, so there's no real difference in terms of the essence of it.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, so far, it's only been two episodes. I really enjoyed it. Because, I mean, the second main character who the second episode focuses on is kind of like, he's one of these ones where he's like, oh, yes, I'm a cool gamer now.
Yeah.
I'd say I'm one of these popular gamers who...
Kill him.
I only play like Uncharted and Call of Duty and stuff like that, but secretly I used to play all of these other ones. There is a very, very different, I would say, type of gamer.
Yeah.
Where some of them like are playing for the popularity and some of them are playing just because they like it. And that's kind of what's interesting, at least for me, about it, is that you can tell this guy, he has this image of being the cool gamer, but actually he really just wants to enjoy games. He's kind of bored of games. He's kind of bored of playing the same old games over and over again. He wins a copy of, I can't remember what they call it, but it's Tales of Phantasia.
All right.
And he basically gets that and he's like, yeah, this is actually one of the first games I've actually played in a long time, which I've really enjoyed. But I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's not something that's completely brand new, but it's one of those series that I've been watching. I mean, I've only watched two episodes, but I've just been really enjoying what I've been watching.
Okay.
It sounds like it lives up to its name, which is not what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be more generic, you know, harem, but, you know, oh, here's using video games as like a draw, but it sounds like it's actually quite true to, you know, what it's supposed to be about, so it actually sounds pretty interesting. I'll check it out.
It is a really interesting anime, and like Mark's touched on, but there's this other side of gaming, which is this club which was set up by Tendo. And they've got people who are like experts in first-person shooters, button mashers, and fighting games, and it's like lots of different aspects. And with it only being like two episodes so far, they have built a great foundation to take it even further.
Yeah,
because he's playing on his smartphone game.
Yeah,
and the second episode was set in an arcade, and I don't know if it was the actual Persona 4 game.
Yeah, it was. It was actually the Persona 4 fighting game.
The PlayStation 4 was like a PZ4, so I thought, oh, it's off-brand games. But they actually used the Persona 4 game in it and the characters. and playing. And this guy who was used to fighting games, he's like, oh, I can't get a read on button mashers like the one at the club. But this guy, he's easy to read.
All right.
And
you wait for him to do a reckless action, then you do a heal, counter, punish.
Basically, and it's interesting to see, like, I've got a feeling that we're going to see more of what competitive gaming's like, and that's something that's not really touched on, because competitive gaming has came so far.
Can I jump in there? You are definitely going to see more of competitive gaming, because a lot of Chinese and Korean novels are getting manhwa and comics and getting adapted for animation as well. The King's Avatar is purely about competitive gaming and the trials and tribulations of somebody who's been at the top of the competitive gaming world, but now is considered surplus to requirements. And
it has been washed up.
Well, he's not washed up. This is the thing. It's just that he doesn't fit with modern times. And so he basically brings back his original character before he joins the competitive gaming team and raises this other character. He revives his old character in this game called Glory, which is what everyone plays, all the competitive gamers play it. And so he revives his old character, and basically, because he's been competitive gaming for so long, he has to relearn some things that he's long forgotten because he's been at the top for the last 10 years.
Back to basics kind of story.
It's kind of a back to basics, but rising from the ashes as well. And then you've got the Korean stuff that's coming out, which is also really interesting.
It goes the other way as well. It's like anime is going into competitive gaming. I mean, Arc System Works is making Dragon Ball FighterZ, so now you've got Dragon Ball Z anime, but in a competitive fighting game. Then they're going to make Blaze Blue Cross Tag, which is Blaze Blue, Persona, Under Night and Birth, and Ruby in one big crossover fighting game from Arc System Works.
Anyway, leaving that to one side, the ones that I've picked out from this season, Made in Abyss, fantasy, enormous cave system known as the Abyss. It's basically take the whole dungeon mechanic, but actually make it into a city and a world, and actually have people training to go down into the abyss and actually find stuff. Very interesting story, very interesting world, definitely worth watching, and I think it's probably going to be one of the anime of the year, if I'm reading it right. Fate Apocrypha, I'm just getting all mine out of the way. Fate Apocrypha, first couple of episodes of that are out. First episode starts off with a bang, then gets very quiet. It's early days. They're definitely going for, because it's animated by A1 Pictures, they're definitely trying to get the feel of things like Fate Stay Night and Unlimited Blade Works, the ones that were done by Ufotable. But I don't know. It's still too early to tell. The story's a little bit shallower than Fate Zero, I'll be honest. But it's early days, so I'm hopeful that that'll improve. One that I have been waiting for is called Yokai Apartment no Yugo no Nichijo. And that one is based on a novel by Hinoa Kozuki. It's got a manga adaptation. This one is about a high schooler called Inabayushi, whose parents died on the first year of middle school. He's been living with his uncle during middle school, and he kind of felt like a fifth wheel. Now he's moved out, he's moved into a dorm, but unfortunately for him, before he gets to move in, the dorm burns down, so he has to find another place to live. And he finds a place. The only problem is, the place is not so much haunted, but more kind of a dormitory for exorcists and yokai and ghosts and demons and things like that, who all live there side by side in complete harmony. He has, like, breakfast and lunch and dinner cooked by just a pair of hands. It's like a cute version of Thing from the Addams Family that knows how to cook.
Thing was cute.
Yeah, but the hands in this, they're basically, you know, they like to doll themselves up with nail polish, stuff like that. So you can tell what mood the hands are in by what type of nail polish they're wearing.
Sounds interesting.
It's a really sweet, heartwarming series, and it will appeal to the Fujoshi because it does have a distinct BL vibe because of the relationship between Inaba and his best friend Hase, and they are kind of like husband-wife in certain scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But the two that I did want to focus on in particular, but I'm not going to, the first one is Mahoutsukai no Yome, or The Ancient Magus Bride, which has started its season, and I am really happy about that because I've been waiting for that one for a while. But the other one, I mean, I've read a good portion of the light novel, and it's one of those transported to another world ones, very, very slice of life. And the reason I wanted to pick this one up and talk about it is not so much because of what it is, but because of what it isn't. And it's based on the light novel series of the same name, In Another World with My Smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a story of Mochizuki Toya, who is accidentally killed by God and gets taken to another world. And he says, we've killed your body. We can't really do anything about that. Sorry. But we can give you a new body in another world. She says, well, you can take something with you. She says, I want to take my smartphone. And he's basically, he's evolving into a god, effectively, in this other world. That's basically what it is. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is because...
I saw it in No Game, No Life, but yeah.
Yeah, but this is kind of more literal. It's not as subtle as it is in No Game, No Life. In the case of In Another World with My Smartphone, you actually see him just getting stronger and more powerful, and his phone gets more options and stuff like that. But there is another series that is in production at the moment called Death March to the Parallel World Rhapsody. And In Another World with My Smartphone is kind of the light version, the wannabe to Death March. Because in this one, there's still a degree of common sense. But in Death March, Common Sense Chan has basically committed suicide. The main character in Death March is ridiculously powerful. I mean, we're talking like he is basically a god on Earth from the beginning of the story. And he just doesn't realize just how powerful he is.
Hmm.
So, In a Different World with My Smartphone, it's everything I expected the anime adaptation to be. Kind of lackluster, slice of life, a little tedious, I'll be honest. It's got some charm to it, but it is a little tedious. This is kind of the appetizer before Death March.
Yeah, sounds cool.
In a different world with my smartphone, I think somebody lost in Tramia and all have got to the phone.
Yeah. So, that's my lot done.
I was going to say, I've touched on all of mine last week. I'm still watching them.
Do you mind then?
Yes.
Okay. I haven't watched any of these yet, so it's not like I can go too deep into them. 18 IFers interest me. I think that was spoken about before.
Well, I haven't touched on it yet. It has been mentioned.
I've seen it, but not discussed it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know this one.
18 IF, it's supernatural. It's after going to sleep like normal, Tsukishiro Haruto wakes up to discover that he's stuck in a dream world. It does kind of sound like, again, another world thing, but okay. The style of it just appeals to me. Like, right. Purple, crazy colors, crazy imagery. And I watched the PV. It seems that it can get surprisingly, maybe there's a little bit of violence in there as well. So that appeals to me. There are some young women trapped in there who have rejected reality and they're afflicted with sleeping beauty syndrome. So I guess there's going to be some psychological, perhaps some even societal, social commentary elements in there as well. And the other one that really stood out to me is Kakegururi, which is at Hyakao Private Academy, an institution for the privileged. The curriculum is gambling. And it's, as I said, it's a school for the privileged. The privileged gamble, apparently, like, you know, that's their pastime. Spending money feels great. Why not play games while spending money at the same time?
I know this one. This is the one that everyone's been saying is supposed to be like Kaiji, but at high school.
I have no idea what Kaiji is, but it's apparently about reading your opponent and the art of the deal. So there's psychological elements in there as well. As far as genres go, it's described as mystery and drama. I like that. And I watched a PV. Again, the art style, it's nowhere near on the level of 18 IF, but there is a bit of surrealism to its style. And the characters are actually pretty terrifying by the looks of things. So, yeah, Seems like it would be interesting.
The art of the deal. Donald Trump, the anime.
Oof, terrible.
I guess so. I mean, he's got enough money to enroll his kids to school if he wanted to, so.
No, he should enroll his kids in Trump University.
Would he do that to himself? Would he do that to them? I think that'd be a very interesting question to ask Trump in an interview.
Got an air show going on, Mark?
Yeah, as you know, I sit practically underneath the air show, so.
And do you have jets flying over your head, Mark?
Yes, I literally do.
Ah. Anyway, didn't you have another one, Mark?
So, yeah, I've also been watching Classroom of the Elite, which is not a gambling one, but also takes place in the classroom. This one's a little bit more Assassination Classroom, except without the teacher that they're trying to kill, in that this is a classroom where they dump all of the problem children, and it's basically just to ridicule them. The whole premise behind this one is that each student in this school is given so much credit each month in order to survive. And so obviously they get the credits for, obviously they use for food or to cover the rent or for toiletries and whatever, what have you. And basically they get told they're going to get this money every month as long as they attend school. And then after the first episode, they kind of realize, oh, well, there's actually more things. You only get this credit is if the people in the class do well. So obviously, as you can imagine, in the first episode, they've blown all the money. They've bought games and they're just mooching about because they're like, well, we're not going to treat you like kids. We're going to treat you like adults. If you don't want to listen, you don't have to listen. If you don't want to study, you don't have to study. We're not going to give you any more money if you're just going to mooch about and do nothing. And so far, that seems to be the whole fit, the whole of the premise. It's pretty interesting. Part of me kind of wishes they would put this idea into other countries as well. Yes. And just kind of be like, yeah, if you're not going to do anything, we're not going to bother with you.
Yes.
See how life treats you after that.
Yes, I agree with this. I will. I applaud this idea.
Well, the things I like about it is that they turn around and go, well, how are you scoring us? How do we get this score? And they're like, in real life, you do not get a score. Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody's going to approach you down the street and just going to go, you are doing well in life today, son.
Although you say that, but I'd happily walk down, if somebody offered me a job doing this, I'd happily walk down the street saying, you're a 9 out of 10. You're a 2 out of 10.
But in real life, there is no way of measuring how successful, well, there probably is how successful you are, but there is no way of saying, yeah, you've lived life to the fullest and stuff like that. And that's
I found a test for that.
It's kind of what this whole thing is. I mean, all of the characters, they're interesting enough. They're kind of the generic archetypes. You've got your main character who's kind of like neither great nor bad at anything. You've got your quiet girl. You've got your popular bubbly girl. You've got your basketball player who just has no interests. You've got your bullies. You've got your rich snob. They're kind of all the generic protagonists, but it's kind of like Assassination Classroom where they're having to better themselves and we're getting a little bit more interesting into each character as it goes along. It's pretty interesting. It's not going to hugely stand out. It's going to be one of those series you're probably going to watch. You're probably going to enjoy it. At this point, I'm not sure if it's going to grab my attention all the way to the end, but I'm enjoying it so far.
All right, cool. And Tucky?
Yeah, so Fastest Finger First. I say first, first. Fastest Finger First, to be English. Or Nanamaru Sanbatsu. So this was an interesting one, and this is one of them ones I went in for because the title sounded sexual. And it wrote so many checks that I couldn't cash. Turns out it's an anime about a quiz club. Yes, it's a high school club with a niche again. And the first two episodes I've seen, it follows this guy, Koshiyama Shiki, and he's a first year. He's quite knowledgeable. He's got a vast pool of knowledge of these, like, you know, in Japanese, like, schools where they do, like, assemblies where they introduce you to different social after-school club kind of things.
Yeah, it's like a club fair type thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's, like, a huge promo for the quiz club, which is run by some lanky guy in glasses who looks like a douche and sounds like a douche. So they ask for, like, six members of the audience to come forward. Obviously, the kid goes up, and there's this lass who's also very, very into fastest finger first quiz games. That's not a euphemism.
I thought you were going to say she's very, very into buzzing things.
Yeah, she likes to press the button really quickly before anybody else.
Yes.
This is a serious quiz anime. The basis of it is, it's like, it's your typical buzzer game where you buzz in and give an answer. And they've already built up the whole, you've got to think of the full question and then buzz in before he finishes the question. and know the answer. I've already done that angle, and they're doing like, it could be a matter of 0.001 seconds that yeah. can win it for you. And I can't really see them going any further with this unless they go down the alley of there's this type of quiz, which is your usual buzzer one, but then they add the extra elements, like, say, Wheel of Fortune, where you buzz in, you answer a question, then it's a game of chance on a spinning wheel. Or if they've got typical British games, I mean, Bullseye. You had to answer a question, then you have a professional darts player fling a dart at a board, and you have Bully going, "Hit one!" That kind of stuff, you know, if they had more elements to it, and it's like, there's not just one type of, like, fastest finger first game show. There's lots of different types of them. But so far, they're focusing on the generic buzz in as fast as you can, try and think of the question before it's asked, answer it. It's kind of a bland premise. It's really slow to get started. I mean, like I say, I went in for it just because it's got a funny title.
Can I just say, it sounds like, you remember that old game on the PS2 and on the PS3?
Buzz.
Yeah. It sounds like Buzz the anime. Buzz had like the junior versions, which were a lot more fun than the actual quiz game. So you had the jungle version of Buzz where you had monkeys, and you had the sci-fi version where you had robots, and they could have done so much with just that premise instead of what they've got.
Well, it is. It's like a watered-down Buzz. Oh, man, you've got us thinking, who was the voice of the guy on Buzz?
I don't know, but all I can think now is that they could do a crossover between Fastest Finger First and Welcome to the Ballroom and bring back Brucey.
No. What you want is the ultimate showdown, the high school quiz team from Nanamaru Sanbatsu versus the Eggheads.
Got a little going university challenge.
No, but the thing is, when they're on Eggheads, they have to be the anime versions, not the voice actors. So you have to have the anime characters sitting across from the Eggheads. Or people just dressed as the anime characters, but wearing, like, you know, those massive foam heads that they do that look like anime characters, wearing those.
Oh, God, they're scary.
Exactly.
Jason Donovan. Sorry. Just found Jason Donovan. That's the name of the guy who was the Buzz guy.
I was getting worried there because out of the blue, suddenly started shouting Jason Donovan.
He's the memorable voice, but like I say, it's generic, it's boring. There's no excitement. This is the thing. Britain's television has built a stable on, like, game shows, but they add an entertainment element to it. What was the name of that show with Bruce Forsyth for the higher or lower? You don't get anything for a pair.
Play Cards Right.
That's the one. Play Your Cards Right. Bullseye. Yeah, Catchphrase can be one as well. You know, fun elements. You can't just have Buzz in the fastest and answer. Otherwise, you've got Eggheads on tranquilizers. It's not
they don't
funny.
Even like give us a Fast and Furious, like, who pushes the button first intensity level of animated scene for each time someone tries to answer a question. We get
that's the basic thing you get. They're going into the detail of, you have to be 0.01 seconds faster than your opponent. you have to have a knowledge trip. It's like, yeah, you can push the kind of extremes of human endurance and speed. It's not like Usain Bolt sitting there like, we're the fastest university. Well, I am the fastest man in the world. You know, it's not like, you know, they could add humor in it. The characters are all really boring high school kids.
Just wait for the training montage. Mostly,
you know, like, had me. You never had me. You didn't have your answer. You didn't even have your finger on the buzz within the past 0.5 seconds.
Just wait until the training montage for the big finale. You'll have basically the main character, whoever he is, and he'll go to visit the mountain where the great quizzing sage lives. And the quizzing sage will be just this little old man with long flowing mustaches and a yellow robe. And he's going to teach him how to steal this rock from his hand.
Stick your finger in this hole, and if you pull it out successfully, you're the chosen.
I am holding a rock in my hand. Can you take it from my hand? No, you can't. You're too slow. You must train.
Alternatively, you can just have a girl lie in front of him.
Well,
it's true, though. I reckon someone should do research on which is faster, a New York minute, which is the time between when the lights turn green and the first cab actually starts beeping its horn.
Or the speed... Sarah Jessica Parker's career started and ended.
Yeah. Or the speed at which a harem protagonist's face hits the boobs. Which one's faster?
Faster than the boss's finger first, eh?
It's like I say, it's there. I'm going to continue watching it because I want to see if they do add any more silly additions onto it. But at the moment, it's just a bland press this button the fastest and you win the girl or whatever they're trying to sell. Mark's watched it as well.
You mean like generic sort of like love interest thing?
Yeah, because she's obviously as a love interest, but she's also an avid fingerer. So,
okay, I completely misinterpreted that. I thought like they were offering prizes and it was getting a bit like, you know.
No, that would be interesting.
Kind of Yakuza level of like what they're offering up, you know.
Not that kind of human trafficking kind of angle. It'd make it interesting, but they're not going down that road. I mean, like I said, Mark's.
You never know, it might be the twist at the end.
So what are your thoughts on it, Mark?
It was all right. I mean, it was one of those series where I looked into it and I was like, this is quite stupid. It might be quite funny. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, this is quite stupid, but it might be good enough. And I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll watch more of it. And then I just never watched any more of it.
Sounds about right.
It is. You pick it up and you could easily just leave it by the wayside and forget its existence.
Yeah.
At the moment. So, you know, if the creators are there, you know, buck up your game or, you know, bugger off.
On that note, then, we are at the end of the show. We've been talking about the new season of anime. What are your thoughts? Let us know. All of our shows are available on Audioboom and iTunes or the podcast provider of your choice. If you are listening on one of those services, then subscribe and you'll stay up to date with all of our latest shows. We are part of the Geek Show Podcast Network. And there's all sorts of other shows on the network, so explore and you might find something that you like. If you want to get in touch with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or email us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk. And that's about it for us for this week. We'll be back next week with more animation stuff. Until then, I've been Rob.
I've been Lewis.
I've been Mark.
I've been Tucky.
We'll see you all later.
Bye!